Vrindavan ki jai, Vrindavan dhamma ki jai, Mathura dhamma ki jai, Navadvipa Mayapur dhamma ki jai, Jagannath Puri dhamma ki jai, Gangamai Jamuna Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Tulsi Maharani ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki jai, Gaur Premananda. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya. Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanamane. Namaste Saraswati Deve. Gauravani Pacharane. Nivase Sasanyavani Paskatya Desitarane. Vandeham Sri Guru. Sri Yuta Padakamalam. Sri Guru Nivaishnavam Sri Chasri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunatam Vitam Stam Sajivam. Sadvaitam Sadvaditam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Deva. Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahib Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamstha Anchikapa Trivishta Fikasandavya Vitapati Janam Pavaneva Vajnavi Mori Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. It's November 4th, 2013, Govardhan Puja in Houston, Texas. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 25, Text 1. Shri Suka Uvacha. Indras Tadatmana Pujam. Vignaya Vihatam Nripa. Gopebhya Krishnatebhyo. Nanda Dibhyas Chukopata. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Indraha, Lord Indra, Tada, then, Atmanaha, his own, Pujam, worship, Vignaya, understanding, Vihatam, diverted, Nripa, O King Pariksit, Gopebhya, at the cowherds, Krishna Natebhya, who took Krishna as their Lord, Nanda Adibya, headed by Nanda Maharaj. Chukopaha, he became angry. Translation purport. Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, when Indra understood that his sacrifice had been put aside, he became furious with Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men who were accepting Krishna as their lord." Purport. At the very beginning of this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami reveals the foolishness of Indra and the absurdity of his anger. Indra was frustrated because the residents of Vrindavan accepted Sri Krishna as their lord. But the simple fact is that Sri Krishna is the lord, not only of the residents of Vrindavana, but of all that exists, including Indra himself. Thus, Indra's petulant reaction was ridiculous. As the common saying goes, pride goes before a fall. Sri Shuka Uvacha Indras Tadatmana Pujam Vignaya Vihatam Ripa Gopebhya Krishnatevyo Nanda Adibhyas Chukopaha. Sukadeva Goswami said, "My dear King Parikshit, when Indra understood that his sacrifice had been put aside, he became furious with Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men who were accepting Krishna as their lord." So I think I can count in the thousands and thousands of times in my life when somebody has acted in a way towards me that I consider disrespectful, and my reaction was to become angry. How dare you insult me? How dare you do something that's not fair to me? If we really consider when we become angry, here Indra became angry. Became very angry, not just a little angry. He became so angry that he was trying to commit mass murder. So I don't think any of us, I hope, have ever been that angry. But people do get that angry, you know, they get some slight at work and they go in with a shotgun and they kill everybody at work, yes? People do that kind of thing. Between countries, "You've taken my little piece of land, we'll blow up your city. We'll kill all the people." So he became so angry that he decided he was going to destroy Vrindavan. He was going to kill all the people, all the animals, destroy the village entirely because he was slighted. So again, we may not go to such a gross extreme, but isn't this really how we conditioned souls behave? Indra was thinking, "What is the fault on my part? I'm doing my job. I'm supplying rain. I'm being a good demigod. Why aren't I getting my taxes? Why aren't I getting the respect that's due to me? Why is it going to this other person? Why aren't I getting what I'm entitled to? Why am I being denied unfairly?" So this is, if you examine, so I'd like to challenge all of us to examine when we become angry, and especially when we become mean. So all of us would like to be nice people, correct? Yes? We would like to be considerate. We would like to be respectful. Anybody here prepared to say 100% of the time? For anybody, 100% of the time, you are considerate and respectful. This is a problem. Isn't it? How are we going to go back to Godhead if we're not considerate and respectful? You think anyone in Goloka Vrindavan is mean and vindictive? No, there's no meanness there. There's friendly competition. Who can please Krishna the most? But there's no meanness. There's no envy. So we examine, when do we become mean? When is it that we lose this good quality of being compassionate and respectful and understanding of the other people in our lives? Do we even do this with those who are nearest and dearest to us? Not just, you know, you call the company to complain about something and they give you the wrong information. Not only that, but even the people in your family and your good friends. Don't we do this? The people we care about the most and who care about us the most, we can become nasty. I was listening to a class the other day, Prabhupada said, we are making nasty people into Vaishnavas. And then he said, actually nasty. So unfortunately, especially in Kali Yuga, the age of quarrel, easily, we may not flood them and try to kill them, but we say and do things that we know are hurtful to others. We know. If I say this thing, if I do this thing, someone else will feel bad. And still we do it. And we think, why did I do that? If we examine honestly, we will find in almost every instance, maybe some exceptions, but in almost every instance, it's the same thing as what happened to Indra. We feel one of my rights has been denied. Jai, Shishupala Nilamala, Jai, Guru Govardhana, Shishupala. We think, I am faultless. Why am I being blamed? Why am I being criticized for no reason? Or why am I being denied something that I deserve? If you just start to pay attention, when do we behave like this? It's the same circumstance. I am a good person, I am an important person, and I have done this, and I've done nothing wrong, and yet I'm being criticized, or I'm being mistreated, or something that I'm owed is not being given to me. And we become filled, actually before we become filled with anger, we become filled with fear. Krishna talks about attachment, fear, and anger. So we have, I can't remember this word. Because we have some attachment that I am a great person, I am an important person, I am a good person, I am entitled to so many things. And without these things, I will not be happy. Indra is thinking, if I don't get worship, how can I be happy? He's thinking like that. I'll lose something important that I really need, and I deserve this. Don't they know how much I'm doing for them? Don't they know how all their prosperity depends on me? All these things I've done for them, and they're slapping me in the face. We had a contract, we had an agreement. I did all everything for you. You were all ready to give me my payment, and then you take it away. How will I live? This fear, how will I live? Like Sukaracharya also, when Vamandev came to Bali, and he knew Vamandev is Vishnu, he's thinking, how will I live if Vishnu takes everything away? And Indra was thinking, if it goes to Krishna, how will I live? But this is all an illusion. Our attachment and fear and then anger, which ends up embarrassing us. As Krishna explains in 262 of the Bhagavad Gita, after we get angry, we lose our intelligence. In anger, we do and say things that later we think, oh, why did I do this? Why did I say this? And we forget Krishna, isn't it? Yes? It can be a little thing. Why did you forget to put the milk away last night? And we become angry. I didn't forget to put it. It wasn't my job. It was your job. You told me you were going to do it. I didn't. And then there's no Krishna. It can be something so small like that. Isn't it? You said you'd be here at 5 o'clock. You weren't here. I never said I'd be here. I don't know. You did that. Am I correct? Krishna's gone. And then later we're so embarrassed. And we can spend hours, we can spend years. Yes, years. In enmity with people over something like that. Who left out the milk and who came at 5:30? There's wars over these things. Divorces and wars and People, they tell these stories for years. Oh, you know, they told me I didn't have to come until 5:30, and so I didn't come until 5:30, and then I lost my job. Yes. And then, you know, the worst is, I'm going to get them. I'm going to ruin their reputation, or I'm going to hurt them in some way, and I'm going to get back at them. I'll protect myself in this way. And the unfortunate thing, my dear friends, is Indra is a devotee. He is not a demon. He is not a demon. Indra is not a demon. Indra is, I am sure, a much better devotee than I am. Just to go to the heavenly planets, one has to be basically free of lust and greed. And one has to be in sattva-guna. Just to live there. What do you speak of to be the king? I was just reading this morning, the Prabhupada was saying how if you perform Vedic yajnas, you can go to the moon or the higher planets. But Indra's planet's higher even than the moon. It's the chief of the heavenly planets. Well, above there, there's the planets of the Rishis and Prajapatis. But Indra's planet is the chief, and he is the chief of the chief. How qualified he must be. He's a devotee. He's primarily in the mode of goodness. We should not denigrate Indra. I'm sure and certain that if we met Indra, we would be amazed at what a nice person he is. I'm sure we would like him. Oh, what if he came here to the temple? Oh, very nice, wonderful person, we would say. So much in the mode of goodness. So devoted to service. So just because we become devotees doesn't mean this can't happen to us, is my point. If this can happen to Indra, it's very extreme. But we see this happens even in our Hare Krishna movement. Once some devotee, I don't know who it was, someone I don't know who was, called me on the phone. He was talking to me about things, and then he said, my service to Prabhupada is to destroy the ISKCON movement. He said this to me. See, there's so much corruption, this and that, and so I just want to destroy the whole thing. We'll start over. That's my service to Prabhupada. There are people who think like this. They think that's their service. So even we're devotees, we can think, it's okay if I destroy this project or that project or destroy this person's reputation. I've seen it happen. More than once, more than twice, more than 10 times. I see people, they're devotees, they're chanting Hare Krishna, they have affection for Srila Prabhupada. And because they get angry, because their pride has been offended, they think nothing of destroying a devotional project, or destroying somebody's reputation, or causing great agitation in a community. I've seen this over and over and over again. And especially they'll attack the authorities. Oh, the tell president is like this, GBC is like this, like this. We see it in the family. We shouldn't think, oh, well, I'm a devotee. I'm free of this. Whenever I get angry, it's all transcendental. Whenever I get offended, I'm a great personality. I can't become bewildered. We can become bewildered. Of course, Krishna will forgive his devotees. One of the amazing things about this lila is that Krishna completely forgives Indra. Completely. He just says, go back, go home, go run heaven again, and be a good boy this time. He doesn't give him any kind of real punishment. He doesn't demote him, he doesn't fire him, he doesn't, you know, cut off his hand, or he doesn't do any of those things. Oh, Indra tried to destroy Vrindavan. Now, it wasn't like a little thing. It's the worst Vaishnava aparadha, is to try to kill. So Krishna will certainly forgive us if we act like this. Undoubtedly, he will forgive us. But we shouldn't be counting on his mercy to forgive us. And you know, he doesn't give Indra, he doesn't say to Indra, okay, you can enter into Goloka Vrindavan as one of my eternal associates. He says you can stay in the material world and run heaven and think you're the big shot in heaven, but behave yourself. And that's not really what we want, is it? So how are we going to deal with this problem? Is it a problem? Yes? In our families even. In our families, in our community. General, in our lives. I get so easily insulted and offended. So it doesn't take practically anything. How do we deal with this? So what does Krishna say? What is the solution? Well, one thing here is to recognize that whatever happens is the will of God. Right? Madhavi Rakabi, somebody, anybody, whatever you want, it is your will. If Indra had just said, you know, if it's Krishna's will that I don't get a sacrifice from Vrindavan, then that's Krishna's will. It's the will of God. But I get what I don't get. Krishna says one is dear to him who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, fame and infamy, heat and cold, happiness and distress, friends and enemies. Indra's thinking they're acting as my enemy. He should have been detached. That my satisfaction.
That's in the machine.
Okay. My satisfaction, the fulfillment of my needs, is not dependent on how I'm being treated externally. And whatever's happening to me externally, that's the will of God, and God is all good. Suridam Sarabhutana. If by the will of God, everybody hates me, then I accept that as mercy. If by the will of God, everybody insults me, even there's a kind of yoga, Jada Yoga, like Maharaj Vrsabhdev practices Jada Yoga. He was traveling, and people were throwing stool, they were throwing feces at him. And he didn't respond. No one's ever insulted me that much. He didn't respond. It's all right, whatever they want. So, of course, Maharaj Parikit finally came to that point. Initially, he also responded poorly when he thought the Rishi insulted him. And then later he came to the point, he said, I was wrong. It said that Maharaj Parikit saw that Krishna had taken the form of that curse. He said, let me find some good in it. Oh, I've been cursed? Okay. Let me renounce and just hear Bhagavatam. Like that Subhuti Roy, I think his name was, in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, where he had a Muslim servant, and one time the Muslim servant did something wrong and he hit him, made some mark. And later on, the Muslim became the ruler in the area. And his wife one time, she said, what is this mark? And he said, oh, I used to work for Subhuti Roy. One time I really did something wrong and he hit me. She said, you must kill him. He said, no, I love him. He said, it was one incident. I love him. She said, well, at least you have to turn him into a Muslim. So in those days, turning into a Muslim, it just took some water drunk by a Muslim and threw it on them, and the Hindus were thinking, oh, now he's a Muslim, he's untouchable. So that's what he did. And Subhuti Roy went to the local brahmanas, what do I do? And they said, you drink hot ghee, you die. Then he went to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, take sannyas. He said, give up your family, go to the Dham and chant Hare Krishna. Someone's insulted you, instead of retaliating, how can I use this in Krishna's service? What can I do with it? When Duryodhan said, take this son of a maidservant and throw him out with only his breath. Dura said, okay, time to go on pilgrimage. Time to become a vanaprastha. Time to go to the holy dhams. And then, of course, he met Maitreya and so many wonderful things. Arshila Prabhupada, right? The cook was sick. And his wife, Prabhupada said, Prabhupada explained, she'd become lazy in life. The cook wasn't there, she didn't want to cook anymore. So she bought some non-devotee food. And not only did she buy non-devotee food, but she bought it by trading Prabhupada's Bhagavatam. It was an insult. Prabhupada said, okay, it's time to go. But took it. How can I use this in service? How can I use this insult? Prabhupada was living when he was a Vanaprastha in the Delhi temple of the Gaudiya Math, and Prabhupada figured out how, for the same amount of money, they could sell they could print 800 copies of their magazine instead of 400. And he was always on the case of all the brahmacharis. Get out there and preach, get out there and preach. Until President was in another city, when he heard what was going on, he wrote a letter and he said, you are agitating all the brahmacharis there. This is not good. He said, and we don't want to print 800 copies. Then we'll have to take the trouble to sell them. And Prabhupada had asked for 2 dhotis because his dhotis had holes in them. He said, I don't think we can supply you with 2 dhotis. And then he wrote, there's a nice parikram going on in Vrindavan, maybe you can go there. So very, you know, basically threw him out of the temple. And Prabhupada lived the next 4.5 years homeless. But he took that opportunity to depend on Krishna, to write his books. And Prabhupada speaks about that time, and he said, I was thinking maybe I've made some mistake and Krishna's angry with me that he took away my successful business. Because Prabhupada said he was always thinking to preach, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had ordered him, that he would first become a very rich man. He said, one astrologer even said I would become rich like Gurla. And his business failed, and he was homeless. 4.5 years he was homeless. Literally. Counting his paisa, actually. He said, but then I can understand this was Krishna's mercy on me. So one thing we can see, how is this Krishna's mercy? Little thing or big thing. When people insult us, when people unfairly accuse us, when people cheat us, when they disappoint us, which happens all the time. Yes? Does a week go by and nobody disappoints us or insults us or wrongly accuses us? I don't think so. Krishna, how can I use this to become more surrendered to Krishna? How can I use this? Krishna is allowing this. Rakhi Krishna, Radhe Krishna, Rakhi Ke. In this case, Krishna was directly allowing it. Krishna was right there saying, don't worship Indra. Was right there, and still Indra couldn't see it. This is the will of my master. He didn't understand it. But even though we don't see Krishna, maybe some of us do, but anyway, even if we don't see Krishna telling our husband, our wife, our boss, our brother, or whatever, to say something to us that bothers us, do something that bothers us, still ultimately Krishna is allowing. And what response would Krishna like from us? How can I use this to depend more on Krishna? If Indra had said, okay, Krishna, if I'm not going to get this yajna, I surrender to you. And not defend himself at all. Indra should not have defended himself at all, correct? Had Indra done anything wrong that he was denied the yajna? Had he done anything wrong? No. There's no indication that he was at fault. Isn't it? He was puffed up, but he hadn't done anything wrong. I think he could understand us wrong. Does that make sense to everybody? We think, well, I didn't do anything wrong. Why am I being accused? Why am I being this one? I didn't do anything wrong. But Indra should not have defended himself. So the devotee, the real devotee, does not defend themselves. Now you can defend your body. Someone's trying to kill you, you can defend your body. Although sometimes devotees don't even do that. We can defend our body. We can defend our spiritual life. But we should never defend our ego and pride. So first thing is that it's Krishna's will. Second thing is, why am I defending my ego and my pride? Isn't that what we have all come here to destroy? Isn't that why we're practicing a spiritual path? Isn't that our purpose? To destroy our false ego? Sarva-padi-vanir-muktan-tapara-tena-nirmala-rishikesh-rishikena-sevanam-bhakti-vichate. That is the point of bhakti. I want to destroy this illusion. that I am this body, that I am this mind, that I am some big important person in the material world. Didn't we all come here to get rid of that? Isn't that what's causing all of our trouble? Yes? Don't we want to remember Jivaraswara Paya Krishna Arayajidasa? I am a soul. I am a servant of Krishna. Don't we want to become self-realized? That is our purpose, correct? Yes? Isn't that why we're here? So if Krishna arranges for somebody to knock a piece out of our false ego and pride, we should be celebrating that. It's like if you go to the doctor and you have some tumor and the doctor cuts it out, you pay the doctor. You don't punch the doctor. If you have some rats in your house and somebody gets rid of the rats, you celebrate. You don't cry, "Oh, my dear, dear rats, they're now gone from my house. I'm so sorry." You know, if you have a house that's full of garbage and you pay somebody to come pick up your garbage, you don't hold on to your garbage. "Oh, my dear garbage. My dear, dear, dear garbage. Oh, can I lose my garbage?" Do you cry when you take out your trash? Anybody cry when you're carrying your trash out to be picked up? Do you fight with the, do we fight with the garbage collectors? "Don't take my trash, please." So why do we fight with people who insult us and offend us? All they're doing is taking out our trash. It's trash. "I am important." No, we're not important. We're important to Krishna because he loves us. We're very dear to Krishna because he loves us and we're part of Krishna. But otherwise, we're not important. We're not at all important. Make an experiment. Go to somebody who's really near and dear to you and say, "Would you please sit down for the next 2 hours and listen to everything I did today?" How important are we? How many of you know the name of the names of your great-great-grandparents? Anyone here know the names of their great-great-grandparents? That means the grandchildren of our grandchildren will not know our names. Our grandchildren's grandchildren will not know our names. And that's our family. That's not strangers. We just speak of what we did, what we thought, who we were. They won't even know our names. So we're not important. Prabhupada received a letter from a disciple saying, "I have a very big problem," and he signed it, "Your most insignificant servant." Prabhupada was laughing. He said, "Just see, how can an insignificant person have a big problem? They're so insignificant. Please believe me that if we die today, a few people will cry for a while and the world will just go on. The devotees will have an excuse for a feast and then everything will go on. We're not very important. My dear friends, that's a relief. If we think we're important, it's a big artificial burden to carry around. If you know you're not important, it's such a relief. Oh, I don't have to pretend to be important anymore. And we're not so great either. We're not so great. We all know we're not so great. We all know all of our faults, yes? Honestly, we know I'm not very great. I make so many mistakes. I have so many bad qualities. So ill-motivated. Not great. So if somebody points out that I'm not important and I'm not great, I should celebrate. Even if the specific thing they're pointing out is not true. Even if someone says, "Well, you said you do this and you did this," and I'm thinking, "That's not true." Like, okay. If they want to think I'm a nonsense, what is the problem? I'm already a nonsense in so many ways. Maybe not in that way, but in other ways. So what is the difference? Let them think I'm a nonsense. What is the harm? Say, "Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, you're right. I am so full. I'm so sorry. What would you like me to do?" So first thing is Krishna's arranging, and second is this is an opportunity to get rid of the garbage, of this pride and this ego that I'm a big, important, good person. And then we can chant Hare Krishna. That, my dear friends, is the doorway between unsteady bhakti and steady bhakti. Between being ritualistic and being spontaneous. Between dryness and ecstasy. Between struggling with the mind and senses. Between struggling with the mind and senses, and between automatically maya shakta manaparta, the mind going to Krishna. That is the borderline.
Thinking that you're insignificant.
Yes. Thinking you're insignificant. Thinking we are insignificant. Celebrating being insignificant. Celebrating being just nothing except in love for Krishna. Celebrating when somebody wrongly accuses you. Great! Another step towards humility. Jai! Somebody insults me, I will respect them in return. Not they insult me, I insult them in return. Not they insult me, I defend myself in return. That verse, Trinadapis, Nichena, Turoi, Vasahishina, Amani, Namani, Nena, Kirtani, Sadahari. That is the doorway. Indra is a Vaishnava. Please try to understand. He's not a demon, but he's not walking through this doorway. He's staying on the outside. He can't enter into the inner chamber. I get asked all the time where I go in the world, how do I make my bhakti steady? How do I get steady determination? How do I get steady in my practice? How do I get steady in my qualities? In Sanskrit terms, they're asking, how do I go from anista, bhajanakriya, to nishta? Prabhupada said that until you come to nishta, until you're fixed, he said it's a hard struggle with determination. After you come to nishta, everything happens automatically. And people ask all the time, how do I get free of this hard struggle that requires willpower? And I go up and down and up and down. How do I get free of this? And Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Bhajanarahasya, he says, this is the doorway. The doorway to nista is this humility. And humility doesn't mean, oh, I'm so fallen. It doesn't mean like that. That's just silly. But it does mean not defending ourselves. Defend your body, defend our spiritual life, but don't defend our pride. Why do we want to defend our pride? Why do we want to defend our ahankar? I am a great, important person who never does anything wrong. How dare anybody ever say I did something wrong? Why do we want to defend that? That's what's covering who we are. Underneath that covering, there's an eternal cowherd boy or gopi or cow to be with Krishna in the spiritual world forever. This pride and this ahankar, it's like some, it's trash. It's like if you're working on a construction site and your outer clothes is all full of mud and cement. You want to take it off, yes? You don't want to keep it on. But we can make a determination, this Govardhan Puja, to become like the resonance of Vrindavan rather than Indra. The residents of Vrindavan, when they followed Krishna's instructions and then it flooded, they didn't blame Krishna, they didn't defend themselves. They said, Krishna, we're your surrendered devotees, whatever is your will. So if we act like Indra, we may still be counted in the general quality, category of devotees. Krishna will forgive us. We'll still be able to go on doing some service, but we won't get out of this unsteady. We won't get out of the hard struggle with determination. We won't get out of the struggle with our senses. We won't taste the real nectar of Krishna consciousness. We won't taste unlimited ecstasy. We won't be able to enter into the divine lila. We can just stay in this world having some big position, thinking we have a big position, and thinking, oh, I'm so important. Krishna will give, oh, you want to think that? You want to think you're so important? You want to think you're a great guy? Okay, become a demigod. Become this, become that. We have to decide, what do we want? What do we want? And it's not a big price. It's not a big price. What will I do? If someone insults me, and someone falsely accuses me, and I don't defend myself, what will happen? I'll lose everything. No, you'll lose nothing except the trash. Well, that is what we are being, one of the many, many millions and millions and millions of wonderful things we can get from this lila. Tonight we'll be doing a multimedia, Krishna willing, we're doing a multimedia presentation on the whole lila, the whole Govardhan lila, meditation on Govardhan Hill. And there's so many wonderful things that we can take away from this lila for ourselves, but I thought we would focus on this morning. To make a determination that I want to be a devotee like the residents of Vrindavan. I don't want to be a devotee like Indra. And just think how wonderful our whole ISKCON movement would be if everybody did this. Suppose nobody ever defended their pride and false ego. Never. That it was just a principle. That is a spiritual world. The spiritual world, it's explained in the third canto. Everyone appreciates everyone else's service, and no one is defending their pride. They don't have any pride to defend. They've left it far behind. So, questions, comments? Yes. Well, that's a very long story, how I got to ISKCON. Short, I heard the song Govinda on the radio, and I read the Bhagavad Gita. And I heard a record of Prabhupada chanting. I heard a record of Prabhupada chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. I heard the song Govinda on the radio, and I read the Bhagavad Gita. That's short. That's very short.
I have a question.
Yes.
I consider myself a very ordinary but normal human being. This particular person, unluckily, happens to be a senior devotee. And when I came in the beginning, this person was, you know, quite nice to me, but she wanted to unload some of her problems and certain things on me. And eventually, you know, whatever I was taught in the, I knew very little, whatever I was taught in the classes, after 2-3 months I thought, you know, I didn't come here for this. I better stay away. And I know she made a big issue out of it, and started calling me, and false excuses, accuses. I'm sorry. At the end, you gave the answer, but it still gets to me. I'm still today. You know, my head is warm and my eyes are hot. You know, day in and day out, week after week, month after month, year after year, 4 or 5 years passed. And she comes back with the same story which happened, I don't know how many years ago. I have had it up to here. Not up to here, up to here. Last round comes back was, it was in the temple room. 10-12 devotees were taking Charanamrit. And she came to me showing me this finger. I was literally I was actually shocked. And I was so angry. I was trembling. I was perspiring. And I just couldn't speak.
Mm. So it sounds like a very difficult situation.
Yeah, yes.
So what would you like to know? How can I help you?
I went with a splitting headache. Well, I just let me stay, say just two more lines that I called her next day, she wouldn't pick up the phone. I spoke to the machine, gave her whatever I had to say. I wasn't finished yet, second time also. Under such situation, what do you do?
So, all of our anger, you said you were very angry, right? So attachment, fear, and anger. There we go. So all of our anger, generally, with a few exceptions, our anger comes from fear and our fear comes from attachment. So when we get very angry at the way others treat us, and that will happen. Everybody here must have some story like this about somebody, yes? I'm sure. We all here have some story about somebody in our life who's dealt with us in a way that was very difficult. Is that correct? Everybody here, who here has some story like that they could also share about somebody? Yes? Some of you have no difficult people in your life? Okay. So why do we get so angry? Because that we're afraid that we're going to lose something that we think we need in order to be happy. So when you feel that anger, I just try to make an experiment. Okay? Just make, if I'm wrong, that's fine. You can come back next week, tell me if I'm wrong. Make an experiment. Say, Krishna, please show me what I'm afraid of. Please show me what I'm afraid of. I might be afraid that I'm going to lose my community. I might be afraid I'm going to lose respect. I might be afraid I'm going to lose consideration. I might be afraid I'm going to lose peace. I might be afraid I'm going to lose friendship. Generally speaking, with a few exceptions, we get angry because we're afraid that we're going to lose something that we need, or we're not going to get something that we need. Something that we need is going to be denied to us, or something we already have that we need, we're going to lose. So if you look under the anger, almost always there's fear hiding. And you ask Krishna to help you identify that fear. And you take that fear to Krishna. You look at that fear. Look at it very carefully. What we want to do is see the naked form of material desires. We want to look at that fear very, very carefully. And say, is this person really a threat? Can this person's behavior really take away my peace? Do they have that power? Does this person have the power to take away love? Do they have the power to take away community? Do they have the power to take away the meaning in my life? Do they have whatever it is that we're afraid of? Does this person really have that power? And we will come always to the answer, no. The real source of everything I need is Krishna. And the real way I get everything I need is internally. Krishna may choose to remove an external source of something. But always what I need is coming from within. And if Krishna chooses to remove an external source of something I apparently need, then there's an impetus to go within. It's an impetus to remember that the real source of love, consideration, respect, communication, peace, friendship, community, the real source of that is Krishna. I have Krishna in my heart, and nobody ever, except me, can make Krishna in my heart inaccessible to me. There's not one individual who can do that, except myself. Therefore, I have nothing to fear from this person. They're irrelevant. This person is irrelevant to my needs. My needs can be met by Krishna if I turn to him. Even if others in the world take away everything externally that I need. Even if everyone in my community, let's speak of one person, even if everyone in my community hates me, even if everyone in my community says lies about me, and they will not feed me, and they will not look at me, And they yell at me and they tell me terrible things. Even if no one gives me any food to eat and I am lying on the street, paralyzed with no home and no friends, I always have Krishna. And there were devotees who intentionally put themselves in that position. Like Rishabhdev, Maharaj Yudhisthira at the end of his life, Jed Bhart, they intentionally put themselves in that position with nothing external where the whole world criticized them. So they wouldn't be tempted to depend on the fallible soldiers. And once you face your fear, once you identify your fear that's under your anger, once you identify what am I afraid of, and you face it and see how silly it is, and you really depend on Krishna, then you can deal with that person without anger. Then you can deal with that person simply with compassion, and you can make an intelligent, dispassionate, detached decision about what you want to do in your dealings with that person. Do you want to leave a nasty message on their machine? Do you want to yell at them? Do you want to criticize them? Do you want to move to another community? Do you want to just smile? What do you want to do? Once you have your relationship with Krishna settled and you're free from fear, you're peaceful. Until you're peaceful, you cannot act properly. The vision becomes clouded. It's like trying to drive a car when the windshield has fog on it. You have to clear the windshield before you can drive. So when we become angry, it is almost always this, and there's some exceptions, but almost always, anger comes from fear, and fear comes from some attachment to thinking that my needs must be met by someone or something or some circumstances other than Krishna. That I am dependent on the behavior of this person in order to get my needs met. And when we become free of that, then we're no longer influenced. We will no longer feel any inclination whatsoever to defend ourselves or to attack the other person. Nothing whatsoever. Unless there's some service need for that, like Krishna says, okay, go fight a war. Arjuna felt no personal need for defense and attack. And Krishna says, be like that. Don't have a personal need for defense and attack. Fight detached. Mamanusmarijicha. Fight in a detached way. Without considering gain or loss, victory or defeat, honor and dishonor. So whether to fight or not fight, one will have no need to defend oneself. So give it an experiment. And just pray to Krishna. Ask, Krishna, please show me what I'm afraid of. What is this person threatening in me? How can I get this need met in you? And then come back in a week and tell me how it goes. So I think we should, and now we're going to have a wonderful program, Krishna willing, tonight. And we will see you then. Oh, one last question. Yes, sir.
It's not just a little. It was forgiven by Krishna.
Yes.
But Vrajvasi is appreciated so much that they get the association of Krishna 7 days and 7 nights. So they appreciate.
The Vrajvasi is appreciated. That Indra's anger facilitated our being with Krishna. Thank you. That's another nice example. Right? The Vrijvasis, instead of just, oh, that Indra, they thought, oh, this difficulty has become a benediction. That now we can see Krishna for 7 days, 7 nights. Otherwise, they're always, oh, Krishna's gone to the forest, Krishna, right? Right? Always 1 minute like a million years. So if we see it like that, there is no difficulty in our life, really. There's just different ways, of different forms of benedictions. Different forms of benedictions. Some benedictions come in the form of medicine, and some benedictions come in the form of gulotrans. Hare Krishna. 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 Hare Krishna.